We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yes, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Veterans Minimum. I'm your host, Nick Dais. Nick Dais10 is where you can find me on social media. Check out the website, veteransminimum.com. You get some merch. You can get access to the Patreon. Join the Patreon. That's how we help keep the lights on and buy all this equipment. Got some fun ideas coming out. Rebranding the Patreon as well. Join the Discord. All that. Access to all things VM are on there. My guy is in the building, A Double. We're going to be rivals tomorrow night. On the soccer field, right?
Wait, this is coming out Thursday, though.
Yeah, I know, but
we can still talk about it.
Yeah, tomorrow we're playing soccer against each other.
Yes, we are playing soccer against each
other.
It's going to be nice. We're first right now. The Peroni Pirates are in first place right now.
Wow.
3 wins, 1 loss, a goal differential of +8. So we're doing very well. I'm a contributor. I'm not going to claim to be like I'm a big focal point, but I'm a contributor.
Let's go. We're 2-2. Yeah. We slapped the shit out of some team last Monday, and we play Allen's team. On Monday,
I think you're fifth. So this is like Man City against Arsenal, and you best believe it's gonna be a beating like Man City Arsenal.
Let's go, man! I'm fired up. I told my group chat with all the guys and the girls. I was like, "Yo, we play Allen's team next week. I can't have him come on the pod again and just run in his mouth."
I said I'm not a big focal point, so I'm just gonna speak my piece and that's it.
Fair. We should do a jersey swap. It might be the
we first. Are. No, I yeah, thought yeah. we definitely are. Yeah, I don't give a damn how controversial it is. I don't care what the scoreline is. It's at the end of the day, soccer is about respect.
We're doing
the fair game. Where is FIFA? But yeah, fair game, whatever.
We're doing the first ever Astoria Park jersey swap for sure.
I always what was like the NFL players. I've tried to think of like some of the jersey swaps. I always think of Odell before anyone else. Like Odell is like the best jersey
swap. Dude, I think Odell might have started it.
Probably, because he's the first person that comes to mind when it comes to jersey swap.
I really do, because he was always like, he was into soccer. He played soccer growing up too, so he follows soccer. He's good friends with like David Alaba of Real Madrid.
I saw Mbappe with him.
Yeah. So he's someone who, I feel like he might have been the one to start that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go and check, but I think... I remember it becoming more popular with him.
Yeah.
And now like everyone does jerseys.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
It's cool, yeah.
Because, dude, sports, man. It's respect.
We are going to talk about the top 10 NFL concerns for teams heading into this season that can potentially derail their season.
Mm-hmm.
So these are 10 storylines, takes, whatever it might be. You phrase it. We elaborate. We talk about it. But it's 10 things that might happen to the team that can derail their season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have Super Bowl aspirations. They might have playoff aspirations. And if this particular thing goes down, it's going to ruin their season. And we've made a list. And we have some that we're going to bounce back and forth. Do you want to lead us off?
Yeah, I could start off. I think one of the more, I guess, enigmas right now, and they're always in the headlines because they are quote-unquote America's team, even though they're really not America's team because most America dislikes them. But how... It's not just how they're going to replace the players they lost, but just the Dallas Cowboys, how are they going to deal with this likely regression? So the Cowboys had a +14 turnover margin last year. Ironically, it was them and the Colts which is very bizarre. The fact that neither team, Colts, didn't make the playoffs. The Cowboys got bounced the first round. Like, these teams had such high turnover margins, yet they didn't quite play up to expectations.
And we've mentioned this in the past. This isn't something you can expect the Cowboys and the Colts to be plus 14, mm-hmm. to even be plus 5 heading into next year. It's unless you have a special defense, like the Legion of Boom, the Palomalu Steelers, like if you the Ravens. If you have like a iconic defense, then yes, we don't know what this defense is going to be like, but I agree with what you're saying.
And, you know, because we just, you can't bank on Trayvon Diggs having double digit interceptions. You can, I think, bank on Micah Parsons causing mayhem because he's just that good of a player. But how the Cowboys deal with that regression is going to be big because, you know, they, yes, they could have like a positive turnover ratio, but it's not going to be that high again. And they're going to be playing a first place schedule, and they got to make up for a lot of losses, whether it's Amari Cooper, Randy Gregory, like those I think are two big ones.
Gallup until November, Cedric Wilson, who anytime he would come in for a Cooper or a Lamb or Gallup, he would have like 3 for 120 and a touchdown. You're like, what the hell?
And they still have to try to find the best ways to utilize Zeke because of that contract, even though I think it's probably going to be last year Zeke there, but they're still managing that. So just in general, like how they're going to make up for the losses defensively and then offensively, still, because they have this reputation of being like this high power offense, when I think it's not quite at that level. Like, they're a good offense, but I don't think they're high power. I think they just, they're very front heavy. Like, they have their star power, but the depth is a concern. And after this offseason, I think it's a real concern. So, but ultimately, it's just how they, if they can't force turnovers and Dak is a little iffy with the ball, I could see their season crumbling pretty quickly.
I would call the Cowboys an efficient offense.
They're fishing, yeah.
Because I felt like they would get turnovers with like Trayvon Diggs, and then like two plays later they'd score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very methodical. Dalton Schultz had a big year. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard, things like that. But I agree, man. It's just something I always look at that when I'm looking at like handicapping what a team is going to look like next year. Talking about it from a betting perspective, just like, you know, your record in one score games. You can't expect to go 8-1 if you went 8-1. You also can't expect to go 1-8. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. We talk about that all the time. Turnover margin is another one, and then strength of schedule. So I don't know exactly what their one score record is. I believe it was like 5-3, but that's about the norm. If you're like 500, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But you're right, man. I'm with you. I think that's one that could definitely derail their season, especially when I think I was talking about this on the NFC East pod with Impey. I feel like they're the only team that got worse in that division. Giants definitely got better.
Absolutely. Eagles got better. Washington, I don't know where to fall on them. I think there it is what it is.
But they,
I can't really say they got better.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what, besides Wentz, what other noble moves did they make? I can't even, off the top of my head, like, what did they really do in the offseason? I feel like it was a very quiet offseason. Like, okay, they somewhat upgraded QB, but we know Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't think they got worse. They definitely didn't get worse, I'll say that. But,
a lot of question marks.
Yeah, but Dallas definitely got worse. There's no way getting around it. Like, they got hit hard this offseason. I think everyone kind of knew, especially with the whole Randy Gregory situation. If they would have kept Randy Gregory somehow, I would be feeling a lot better because he was a huge difference maker for them last year, and I just felt he was like a real strong piece at D-line with Lawrence and Parsons rushes as well.
Yeah, that's a huge subtraction for them, and he pulled a fast one when he went to Denver the way he did. I'm going to lead off with mine, and I think it's the Buffalo expectations. Now, it's easy when you are flying under the radar. You're like the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. Bengals had no pressure on them all of last year. They're the most heavily wagered team on like 8 different sports books to win the Super Bowl. They're the Super Bowl favorite. Josh Allen is the is the NFL MVP front runner. He's gotten a lot of money on him and tickets. People are betting him. You know, they're motivated from the loss last year, how they lost to Kansas City, that epic playoff game. And they've done a lot, I feel like, in the offseason. You know, they bring in Jamison Crowder, who he might not start on your fantasy team, but dude is going to win games for them.
He creates mismatches
He's a big upgrade with Cole Beasley. Yeah, absolutely. And think about the quarterbacks he's played with the last couple of years. Like, this is we've talked about this in the past. Like, if I knew for a fact that he's going to have an A game, I'm not taking anyone over Josh Allen. So he's going to have him. You got Gabriel Davis emerging as this like real weapon. You saw what he did last time we saw him, and you still got Stephon Diggs. Yeah. I love James Cook.
Yeah.
But now it's
Dawson Knox is a problem, especially after the catch. I feel like he's not the most reliable tight end, but Dawson Knox, when it comes to big plays, there's not many tight ends that can produce big plays like him.
You're going to get Tre'Davious White back,
yeah,
who was a big loss for you when it went down. Mm-hmm. You also spent a draft pick on a DB as well, mm-hmm, to improve that. Yeah. You have that rotating defensive line that everyone loves.
Headlined by Von Miller now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Yeah. So you get Von Miller also.
People are going to say, not quite. He's 32, 33 now? No, he's not going to be the same down-to-down monster, but he's still a very viable pass rusher.
And we talk about this all the time, bro. He's motivated now because he's not playing on a Denver team that went down. He's not playing on a Denver team that's going to win six games. He's on a Super Bowl. It's the same shit like when he went to the Rams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first two games were rocky until he figured it out, and then him and Donald went nuclear in the playoff run and all those games.
And Sean McDermott's very good at rotating D lines. Like, it's not when Carolina, they went like 7-8 deep. So I think he's going to keep Von Miller fresh. So you have to love what Buffalo's doing right now. There's a reason why everyone's buzzing about them, but you know, I'm intrigued. So the concern you think is just
on you now, bro. There's pressure on.
I mean, I feel like there was pressure on last year.
Yeah, but not like this year, though.
Oh, this year, the extra. And there's adversity, too, after one of the worst playoff losses.
Yeah, there was pressure on them last year, but now everybody is sort of picking them as, like, the favorite. They are the favorite. And I think that's a real thing for a city that is, you know, their buttholes are going to pucker up and get tight because you'll be thinking about those four Super Bowls that they lost back and forth. You know they'll be playing that. And can they get over the hump to finally bring a Super Bowl to Buffalo? And I feel like that's a real thing, man. I think that's – you know, the division I don't think is going to be as easy as it was last year. I think the division is a lot better. Collectively, I think Miami and the Jets improved. I would still take Buffalo to win them. They're one of the biggest favorites.
It got better. I don't know about – I don't think significantly better, but it got better. I think out of all the AFC divisions, I think you want to play in the AFC, besides the South for obvious reasons, but like, you know, we know how good AFC West is, and I think the AFC North is pretty complete, even though there are question marks there. I think Buffalo is a superior team to AFC East, even though there are some teams that got better.
You don't buy that, though? Like, expectations for a team? Like, the pressure of it?
I just think they're so battle-tested. And McDermott...
They have taken the road. Yeah. Like, the roadmap has been, like, you know, AFC title game, like, heartbreaking.
They've been going to the playoffs since 2017. Like, I know that was a rough, weird year with the whole Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman thing, but like, McDermott has a lot of coaching experience. And even before that with Carolina, like,
The Houston game Josh Allen's rookie year too?
Yeah, that was another one. So they've had their first round exits, but they've also had success. You know, they were in the conference championship 2 years ago. So I'm not too worried about the whole pressure getting to them. I think it's just a matter of, I think their team, you really hope they gotta get the number one seed because just based on a talent level and what that home field could do for them, I think this is their year to do it because Kansas City is gonna take their lumps. Even though Baltimore is really exciting, it still might be a bit of an adjustment for them. And then, you know, even though the Colts are the heavy favorites, I don't expect the Colts to win more in 12 games. Like, their roster is just not that level. So all the pieces are aligned for Buffalo to get that one seed. And I think that's kind of gotta be their first objective because if they got home field, that's massive.
I really think whoever gets the one seed in the AFC goes to the Super Bowl. I think it's like that.
I mean, it's usually like that. You know, and that's true. If Mahomes didn't turn to Blaine Gabbert in the second half, like,
that's very fair.
It would have been like that too. So, we know how crucial.
But I feel like Buffalo needs it more.
Yeah.
Buffalo in January is not a good time. Imagine if you get the Chargers.
I just think they got to stay away from Arrowhead. I know they won the regular season in Arrowhead, but.
Different animal.
Yeah. I think they just got to stay away from Arrowhead.
Give me your second one.
Oh, man. One of my favorite teams. One of my teams I love talking on this podcast. But, boy, this year it's going to be quiet. The beanie is going to be staying in the closet. The Titans, I don't know how their offense can operate. But, like, if they can't be heavily reliant on Derrick Henry, I don't know how they're going to move the ball. I don't know when they're going to make the transition to Malik Willis. But it's just – things are looking bleak. I know you won't put too much stock into OTAs or rookie minicamp, but just seeing the reports about Treveyon Burks just throwing up, not really catching passes, just looking completely overwhelmed. I know Jamar Chase had that issue last training camp, but I think Jamar Chase and Treveyon Burks are quite different prospects, to say the least. So between that, I think Woods is steady, and you know, Austin Hooper gave you a little bit, but that offense is just so... It's just, there's not a lot of explosiveness. Tannehill, after that playoff loss, I'm just really down on him. The O-line got worse, losing Saffold. It's just, things are looking bleak. And if Derrick Henry can't get back into superhuman form, I'm real concerned about them. Like, I could see them winning only six games if things go that south.
They might be my favorite. If I could give out one favorite bet for the whole year, odds aside, just like it's my number one bet. I think it's the under 9.5 for the Titans.
They're 9.5?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'd be running right now.
I can't see it. They lost both their wide receivers.
First place schedule
now. Derrick Henry, like the wear and tear you saw last year when they went when he went down too. Though they did like weather the storm and were able to still be the one seed, but they were the most like
I'm shocked. They think they're in the NFC. I could see them maybe winning nine games in the NFC, but AFC, the way this conference is now, and now you know who they're playing in the NFC.
Like, I mean, dude, I know week one they play the Giants.
If they play the NFC East, okay, I think they could kind of make do with that. But it's just that offense is looking very bleak, and who knows, second year with Todd Downing, what they're going to look like. I feel like they never quite got back into rhythm after losing Arthur Smith. So,
dude, what about like this whole Malik Willis and Tannehill beef? I know they're kind of saying the right things now, but I think there's a lot of truth to that when you react the way that Tannehill did.
Yeah, it obviously didn't help matters, but I think Malik Willis is such a project. Like, I think Vrabel's going to do everything possible not to put him on the field the first year, but if the season's going downhill, why not play him at some point? But it's just that offense, they don't have a lot of explosiveness. As much as we all love Robert Woods, it's hard to bank on him as the main feature receiver. It really falls on Burks. Like, Burks has to be the guy. If not, it's gonna get ugly there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm real concerned about Tennessee.
No, I agree with you. They're a full fade team for
me. Yeah. If Derrick Henry can't run the ball 20-25 times a game, it's gonna be ugly.
One of mine and who knows? Jimmy G might get traded by the time this comes out. But even if he's there, I think Trey Lance, if he turns out to be a disaster, if he's not ready, if they decide to move Jimmy G, or if they decide to just go with Trey Lance, like, you are burning a bridge with a guy who has gotten you to the Super Bowl, has gotten you to an NFC title game. He don't do it for me, but he wins with them. Shanahan wins with him. He's pretty stable for the most part, like when he does play. I know the first year he got there, he like tore his ACL and shit, but he toughed it out in the playoffs too. He had like a broken thumb and shit.
Yeah,
like
he gutted it out. Up. Yeah.
And it came down to they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Rams, a team that they beat seven straight times heading into that. So if Trey Lance ends up being a disaster, whether it's this year or moving forward, but in particular this year, the bridge you might be burning with Jimmy G, I think that could derail their season.
Because that roster's in win now. That roster is ready to win. You know, I'm not saying they're old, but like, they're ready to win a Super Bowl. Like, they put themselves in a position to be there. So, yeah, it really does fall on Trey Lance. And it's a guy who's played three games since 2019.
It's asking a lot. Yeah. I think it's fair to say that they're asking a lot.
But he's in a hell of a great offense with a hell of a great offensive mind. Like, the pieces are there for him to succeed. So, you couldn't really ask for a better infrastructure.
Give me one more of yours. I mean, we still have more.
Yeah.
Give me
yours. That Arizona defense is looking very questionable, problematic. Insert any sort of questionable. They're just lacking talent. Like, kind of like, at least Dallas has high end talent where they have game changers.
Yeah, they got like all pros.
Yeah, to me, besides Buda Baker and JJ Watt, this defense is looking very suspect. Like, I don't know how they didn't address corner, because they had issues at corner last year, and now they're still banking out on Marco Wilson. Like, that's not going to work out. Didn't really add any edge rushing help. I always liked Marcus Golden as a complimentary piece, but when he's your main edge rusher, that's going to be a problem. The linebackers have really let them down. Remember, they banked on Collins and Simmons, and neither of them have really become... I know Collins was a rookie, so it comes up, but Simmons has not quite been that... we were call him a Swiss Army knife, or just someone that could play two to three different positions.
The expectation of him coming out was he played like 500 different snaps. Yeah. And like, five different positions.
Vance Joseph just hasn't quite fit. Like, he was better last year, but he was supposed to be already one of the
more. He's based on what the expectations were of him.
So, yeah, this Arizona defense, like, they have enough problems to begin with, but, like, I could easily see his defense holding them back and them not make the playoffs, because I just don't know how they can generate consistent pressure if J.J. Watt's injured, and then who's going to cover something. And then the linebackers, can they start getting tougher? Because I think Arizona last year was the lightest team defensively. Like, they're not a particularly big defense, and teams were running on them pretty effectively. So can these linebackers handle the punishment? Didn't look like it last year, so I have huge concerns. And if that defense doesn't get better, you know, Arizona, they're already kind of like a borderline playoff team. Like, I don't even think they could get the seventh seed if their defense really falls apart.
Yeah, and then also on the flip side, you have D-Hop is suspended. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how many games, but he's their number one guy. And, you know, they lose Chase Edmonds, who I know they're going with James Conner, but I don't really like Conner as like a lead back. You know, got Darrell Williams behind
him. Edmonds was a really good fit there. I know he didn't put up big numbers, but it just seemed like he was...
They complement each other so well.
I just feel like he always make that timely third down conversion. Really good out of the backfield. Really good vision as a runner. Like, he was just one of those versatile complementary pieces that kind of make an offense into a top 10 unit. Because, I you know, to me, Arizona was a top 10 offense last year for all their flaws.
One of my next ones is kind of an obvious one, but Packers without Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. And also MVS. Like, you lose your two of your three top receivers, especially one special connection with Adams and with Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that. And then, you know, the Christian Watson that they draft, there's been some mixed reports of him coming out. Though wide receiver lately, rookies do have an immediate impact upon arrival. Like, the years of waiting for a rookie to develop, like, nah, a rookie can come in and be your number one wide receiver right away. We saw it with Justin Jefferson. We saw with Jamar Chase, Odell was like that too. The list goes on and on. But I think the Packers without Adams, like, how bad are their skill weapons?
Bottom of the league.
Has to be, right?
You know, not in division, because good thing Chicago's there. Yeah, not but, in division. Besides that, I don't know what.
I mean, dude, it was bad even last year.
I mean, it's been
bad.
But
like, they that's what I'm saying. And then, you know, they had Davante Adams at least. Now they don't even have him. So this is like an awful collection of weapons.
Yeah, like, I'm shocked they haven't at least tried to trade for a receiver, but that front office, they're kind of like Baltimore. They just believe in what they do, and look, it's a winning recipe, but I can't say it's a championship recipe because they haven't made the Super Bowl. They're kind of like now of what the Saints were a couple years ago, just falling short in January. And right now their roster, I don't think they're built to win in January.
Alan Lazard, Tanyan, Randall Cobb, Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. Yeah. Running back's dope.
Yeah, I think besides in Cleveland, they got the best 1-2 punch.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Because, dude, I think A.J. Dillon's a star, if not already. Like, A.J. Dillon's going to be what a nightmare to tackle. Like, if you could get him 10 to 15 carries a game, oh, what a luxury.
Which I think is what they might do, because they went all in on their defense again. Mm-hmm. Their first couple of draft picks were on defense. And, you know, they paid Jair Alexander as well. He's one of the top paid corners in the league. And they missed him last year, too. Dude was out for the majority of the season. But I think Packers without Adams is going to be very, very intriguing. And it could derail their season, dude, because he bailed them out so many times. He bailed out Aaron Rodgers so many times. Like, he would just – the attention he would draw to. Like, I mean, what more can you say? That was such a special, unique connection.
Yeah. And I'm just – like I said, I really thought they would try to trade for one of those Seattle receivers. Just given the state of Seattle right now, I thought they could alert at least one of those receivers to come. Because, look, okay, no one's on Adams' level, but – Lockett would do serious damage with Rodgers. Like, that Rodgers to Tyler Lockett, I don't think they could get DK Metcalf. I think they're kind of set on keeping DK, but if you're rebuilding mode, like, man, I would try to do everything possible to get a guy like Tyler Lockett.
Give me one of yours.
Mentioned Baltimore before. I'm going to mention him again. I just think how, with that support cast, how can they play from behind? Because, you know, as much as their ball control offense, you know, them heavily running the ball, and, you know, it's a recipe for success, and I think they probably have the best secondary in the league. It's definitely up there when healthy. They're just looking really good on paper, but there's going to be times they're going to be from behind. It's just that's the nature of the AFC. And right now it's just if players don't develop, if they don't make a move or two, that's what's going to limit them. And I'm very concerned about how can they bounce back against a team like the Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, Bengals. Like, you know, there's going to be games where they have to score points. And if they can't throw the ball, it's going to be a concern.
They're a depth chart right now. Bateman, James Proche II, Duvernay.
And then just some UDFAs?
And then it's like Mark Andrews, J.K. Dobbins is coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards got hurt also. Like, you're right, man. They're... Their secondary is sick. Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphreys. They sign Marcus Williams. They sign Kyle Hamilton in the draft. Come, yeah. And everyone was like, right. Like, I feel like the Ravens can never make a mistake when they take a defensive player. And, yeah, their defense is going to be their core, but you got to score points, especially in this conference. I absolutely agree with you. Okay, one of mine is Chiefs Orlando Brown contract issue.
It's a big one. Because we saw the Chiefs with offensive line problems.
It'll get really bad in Kansas City if they don't, like, figure this out. If he holds out, you know, their schedule coming out the gates is a little, I would say, a little difficult.
He's a mysterious case, Orlando Brown. So he was a right tackle in Baltimore, and he pretty much wanted out of Baltimore because they would move the left tackle because he wanted to get paid. He's now in Kansas City where they're playing a left tackle, even though I don't think he's the best fit because he's a massive human being and he's not the most reliable pass protector. He's much better as a run blocker. It's just, I don't know what that situation is like and if they can't get under control like that. Look, this offense is clearly going to go through a transitional phase without Tyreek Hill. To not have a steady left tackle... Oh, man, because they've invested a lot in that O-line. The O-line was really good. And to now break up that successful pairing or just, you know, unit in general, it would be hugely disappointing.
They open up three of their first four games on the road. Oof. At Cardinals, Thursday Night Football against the Chargers. You know about, you know, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa if you have to deal with them. At Colts, at Tampa Bay.
Man, see, I always feel playing Thursday night to start a season is very troubling just because it's – right away, you don't have much time to gel. I know later in the year the punishment adds up, but I don't know. I always feel like playing Thursday night later in the year is better just because I just think early in the season you're starting to find your rhythm. At least later in the season you could be hot, you know, finding your rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better prepared too. Yeah. Yeah, man, I think, like you said, the offensive line was such a big issue going into last season, and they addressed it with all the moves that they made, and they lucked out with the two guys that they found in the draft. Like, one was a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, Smith, Trey Smith, the right guard, and yeah, obviously and Humphrey's Humphrey, up stud. And
the stud,
Joe Tooney's been awesome.
So, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Contract issues are always fascinating. I'm always pro-player for that. I'll say that forever. But this is going to be fascinating.
He's a little bit of a concerning case, though, just because the way he went out in Baltimore, because – he literally went out of Baltimore just because he wanted to get paid. And look, we all want everyone to get paid, but it's just he kind of bullied his way out of there. And now it's like for such a young player to have issues now with two organizations, not just two.
Becomes a trend.
Two very successful organizations
this
as well.
The Browns and the Jets.
No,
this is like
you're
cream
not,
of the crop.
Yeah, like
that's a very fair
so
assessment.
That's why this case I think is a little more concerning. So
give me final last one. Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about Tyreek Hill. Now it's the big one. I feel like this is arguably might be the biggest concern, X factor question mark is just Tua. Can he make progression? Because if he doesn't make progression, there really wasn't much of a point of Miami's madness this offseason. Because I don't think a team has invested more in improving their offense than Miami. When you look at getting Teron Armstead and Tyreek Hill, they've spent crazy to get both those players. And these are two of the best at their positions. Even though Armstead is pretty injury prone, when healthy, he's a top three left tackle, and that Miami offensive line was just inexplicably horrible. As like they were a complete liability across the board. Still not a good O-line, but at least having that left tackle, it makes you feel a little bit better. Even though obviously Tua is left-handed, but it's just he's got to show progression. I think he had the worst completion percentage on intermediate throws. We know he doesn't really like to throw deep. It's not even a matter of throwing deep. I just want to see some more efficiency because he's now with a play caller McDaniel that. You know, one of the biggest specialties in that San Francisco offense is they create yards after catch. And granted, yes, Debo's a cheat code, and Kittle is, damn, he's a cheat code as well, tight end. And Ayuk does damage as well. But, you know, you have some playmakers on offense that can do some serious damage.
You have a lot of guys that could replicate what they were doing in San Francisco.
Yeah, like, Gesicki's a freak. Like, Gesicki can make things happen. We know what Wall's capable of. Cedric Wilson's a good complimentary piece. And then Tyreek Hill just got the ball in his hands. So this really just falls on Tua. So that's why I think this is arguably like the biggest X factor concern, however you want to phrase it. Like if Tua can't show progression, I just think Miami went all in and it didn't really lead to much.
Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert. They invested a lot. Like you said, Teron Armstead, they invested a lot in this offense to cater to Tua, which is what you should do, right? Like, because now you can get a fair assessment of who he is.
Yeah.
When you're playing with these weapons, it's like, listen, bro, this, how many more chances do you need?
Right. This, like, to me, this is it.
Is it? Yeah. That's it for sure.
Yeah.
All right, my last one, and this is a little bit of a funny one, but Zach Wilson distractions. Staying in division?
I mean, yeah. I just, oh, man. What a weird case.
What'd you make of that?
Goofy.
Goofy.
I know people.
Slow news day.
Salute to Kevin Clark. Like, I know everyone's, oh, that's my quarterback. I just, all right, yeah.
He's QB1 now. He's QB1 now.
All right.
He's a little ruthless, man. I like that.
Prove on the field this, because I just feel like, man, other than the Tennessee game, what did he really prove last year? I can't recall a Zach Wilson moment where I was just like, wow, he looks like a legitimate franchise quarterback. Like, to me, it was problematic. Like, I watched that whole, I know first game against Belichick is always rough, but it was scary, those interceptions. Like, all of them were pretty much to the defense. Like, the defensive backs did not really have to make a play on a ball. The ball was literally thrown to them. So, now, what do you mean? Like, is just purely, like, distraction just because of the headlines, New York tabloids?
Yeah.
And that's the concern? I think it's just the concern of Zach Wilson, the quarterback.
I mean, yo, look at what they've done, right? They bring in Breece Hall, top running back in the draft. Mm-hmm. They get him another wide receiver in the draft in the first round, and Garrett Wilson. You had a great chemistry with Elijah Moore. Corey Davis has been a nightmare.
I was looking at those stats. Elijah Moore had the numbers of Mike White and Joe Flacco. He actually had his lowest numbers with Zach Wilson.
That's so right.
That is far-fetched, yeah. Like the Mike White games, you go look at those Elijah Moore stat lines, and then even with Flacco. So that's what I'm telling you. I'm like, Zach Wilson really did not do anything last year. Like he got outplayed.
His only moment was the
Tennessee game.
Tennessee game,
yeah.
Chuck that shit.
Yeah, you know, playing YOLO ball. But so I just think, and you know, we've mentioned a few times over the course of the offseason, it's just I have zero expectations for the Jets. I think the Jets are one of the worst teams in the league, and I don't expect anything from them.
Yeah, you've been on the, like, it's the Jets.
I just don't know how they're going to compete in the AFC. Like, you look at the AFC, like, what teams are they better than the AFC besides the Jaguars and Texans? I can't name one.
Yeah.
I even the Browns, for all their issues right now, I think the Browns as a team would pretty much beat the Jets definitively, just purely off their defense and offense line running backs. So
yeah.
I just, that's why, like, with the Jets, I'm just like, I think the concern is just, like, can Zach Wilson play quarterback
in
the
NFL? Can he be something?
Yeah. Forget the distraction. It's just, you're going the field, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Now you really are QB1. You're not just dude that has the legendary story, I guess you could say.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So. That's fair.
But clearly, like, so you're kind of high on the Jets?
I mean, high is like.
Are you optimistic?
No, I think they could be better this year and have a worse record.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
Like, I think they could be competitive. I think if Zach Wilson emerges and can be something, I think they could be, like, fun and interesting, but they're like a 5-win team to
me. Pretty much. Because, you know, it's interesting, like, I know a lot of Giant fans, and they usually just can't stand the Jets. Like, you're one of the few Giant fans, and now I just like the Jets. Yeah, they're cool. It's hard to hate on the Jets because, like, they've been so bad, but, like, you're just like, yeah, the Jets.
I hate them once every 4 years when we play them that week.
Oh, okay.
And the last couple of times we played them, we're both 2-12, so it doesn't even matter.
What was the last one? 2015 was, like, the last competitive one?
I think the last competitive one where, like, I really cared was, like, the Fitzpatrick-Brandon Marshall. Like, they won that game in overtime, I think it might have been. Uh-huh. Like, that one was, you know, Eli was still there. And I think the Giants had, like, shit the bet anyway. But it was like, let's derail this Jets season. But then, besides that, I don't know.
Yeah. They had the classic Christmas Eve with Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Just running through Brodney Pool. Classic.
Yeah. I mean, the Victor Cruz.
Yeah, that's
when it, you know, the 2 years that the Giants won the Super Bowl, they beat the Jets in the regular season.
Wow.
So I have nothing against the Jets. Yeah. I never do. But
that's,
like,
good. That's a healthy approach. I just know some, like, the some reason, like, it's so weird. Like, just New York football fans, I know, it's just like, we're not in as bad of a shape as the other New York team. Like, we're not as much of a barrister. I'm like, all right, but both of your teams have been rough. Like,
there is some truth to that, too. Like, but I try to assess. I think I'm pretty, like, rational and critical of the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, like, it's just weird, bro. Like, you probably see this, too. Like, when you say anything negative about a team in the NFC South, don't people just say, oh, you're a Falcon fan?
People say I'm complimenting the Saints too much. I'm like, the Saints are, like, they've been doing good. Like, what do you want me to say?
Nah, that's true.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, you
but
got
like, I can't say anything critical of any of the teams in like the NFC.
Yeah, I know. Cowboys like, is tricky with you.
Ah, you a hater, bro. It's like
Cowboys is tricky for you. Yeah.
Cowboys is super tricky. I get shit for the Cowboys all the time. It's like, yo, have I not been like pretty accurate with
and
them?
And January comes around and you
know. Do the first round bounce, you know, and they're out of here. All right, man. This was fun. Tell the people where they can find you. Is there anything you're working on?
Alan Sterk, A-L-L-E-N-S-T-R-K. I have a couple podcasts working on right now, but just primarily Falcons based. I got to do something cool recently where it was like a flashback episode. I highly doubt you remember this game, but it was back in 05. It was a divisional round game between the Falcons and the Rams. I think this was right after the Jets got eliminated by the Steelers. I think Doug Bryan missed a field goal. It was devastating. But the Falcons, this is like prime Vic Done Duckett days, and they just smashed the Rams, and we got
this was Mark Bulger Rams.
Yeah, right? Poor Mark Bulger was like on his last. And Torrey Holt, you know your guy,
that's my boy.
Yeah, Torrey Holt was there, but like this was like Marshall Faulk's last year. This was Steven Jackson, like his only playoff game. Poor guy. So we did that flashback, and oh, rest in peace, the great Tony Siragusa. It was great to hear his voice on this. This is like peak one. I think Goose was like the first guy to really make sideline reporting like real entertaining. Like looking back on it, like watching that game, you know what was so special about Tony Siragusa? He could be critical of something. Like he was just like the Rams, like run fits were just embarrassing. Like they had no discipline. Their secondary couldn't tackle anyone. Like Work Dunn didn't have to put a move on anyone. He just ran right through him. But like Tony Siragusa made being critical entertaining. Like he was just talking about, oh, the umpire needs to get a helmet on and fill up the B gap. Like he was just like, even when he was being even when he was being critical of a bad defense, he still like made it entertaining. And not many people could do it because we get so wrapped up when a team does something bad, just like, what are they doing? Like, this is inexcusable. Like, you get angry. Tony Siragusa was just making, like, complete light of it, and, like, he just made it entertaining. So, and that's a hard skill. Like, so, rest in peace to him, and that was, like, one of the biggest highs. But, yeah, I got that coming out. We did, like, a Falcons-Rams flashback. So, if you want to hear old-school Michael Vick talk and just a very bad, very weird Rams team. I think the Rams were 8-8 that year. Like, one of the few 8-8 teams to make the playoffs. And
if you ever do a flashback of 2012?
No, absolutely not. Like, I got a picture to look at.
Giants, Falcons, let me know, bro. The Dirty Bird by Hakeem Nicks.
I mean, I like that. Yeah, we'll get that 2-0 lead.
Damn, dude. We were both at that game. We didn't know each other then.
No.
That's wild.
Yeah, and a crazy year later, we kind of knew each other. We ran into each other at WrestleMania. I remember that day. Like, hey, you're going to have a way better this experience. I'm like, leaving the show. This is one of the worst WrestleManias ever. It wasn't as bad as the Falcons one, but this is one of the worst. Like, besides Taker Punk, like, that was a really bad Mania.
That was the last Undertaker win at Mania.
Last
one? On the streak. Yeah, on the streak.
Oh, on the streak.
Because then he loses to Brock the year after.
Yeah. Like, you agree with me. Like, you were at that Mania. I thought it was one of the worst Manias ever.
I also
ever.
Didn't like it because it was mad cold, bro.
It was.
I remember wearing Under Armour.
I mean, it was in April.
Ralph. Yeah, it was in April and outdoors. Like, one of the biggest mistakes New York has ever done, or New Jersey, is MetLife being not a dome. Like, do you know how many events, bro? They would have had at least another Super Bowl here.
Oh yeah,
like without a doubt. Like, how do you not make it?
I hear Chicago was trying to push for a dome. They shouldn't take. They want more money. Do it. Yeah.
Minnesota made a dome.
Yeah. Well, Minnesota. I mean, you have a quarterback now that he could do a lot better in a dome.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
People move with the times. Get a dome.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.